and welcome to Climate Queens. This is a podcast to raise awareness about the effect that we as humans are having on our shared planet and what we can do about it. We'll be covering everything from what even is global warming, fast fashion, the minefield that is recycling, and everything in between.
We are no experts. We are just two Dublin gals who met volunteering and have been best pals ever since. So who are we? Katie is obsessed with the outdoors, with a background in food marketing, but her ultimate passion is to save the world one step at a time with a cup of tea in hand.
You know me so well. And Clodagh is a plant-loving, social entrepreneur, climate activist, who is a big fan of hot beverages also, and sea swimming. So join us on the last Friday of every month to channel your inner climate queen. And don't forget your cup of tea.
Or coffee. Welcome to episode 7, your first steps to sustainability.
Woo-hoo! Woo!
This month is Reuse Month, and myself and Katie thought that it would be an ideal time to bring you our live episode from Electric Picnic, where we talked with the incredible ecopreneur that is Pat Kane from Reusey.
We love you, Pat.
We love you. And it's all about your first steps to sustainability. So we spoke to Pat about her journey to create a one-stop shop called Reusey to help people to shop sustainably. What started as an online space and pop-up markets has now evolved into a physical space in Fox Rock and Dublin, so do check it out.
This month is the end of Reuse Month, and during this recording we actually facilitated a space for festival goers to repurpose t-shirts into tote bags to extend the life of these garments and encouraging creative reuse. So we highlight how it takes around 2,700 litres of water to grow enough cotton for one t-shirt, which equates to nearly 3 years of one person's drinking water.
Whoa.
I know. So if you want to know more on this specifically, you can check out our very first episode called What Even Is Fast Fashion? So as with the nature of all live recordings, the sound of this episode is slightly different to the usual, but we promise the content is great. So we hope you enjoy.
Suppose just to introduce ourselves for anybody who doesn't know us, because we are so famous.
Thank you, Thomas. We just got a round of applause.
Thomas. Woo! Thomas is Pat's number one fan. So my name is Katie, and I am one half of the Climate Queens podcast. And we are here with Pat Kane from Reusey. So Pat, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Hi, my name is Pat. I have founded a year and a half ago, more or less, a business called Reusey. And the idea is to enable people to find more sustainable options day-to-day, like basically moments, like being it, you know, washing your hair, drinking your water, whatever it is. We have just opened the shop, but there's a big side of education involved as well. We're always looking for, you know, ways to promote sustainability and find ways for people to spread the word, basically.
Yay! Thanks, Pat. So the theme of today's chat and conversation is the start of your sustainable journey. So I think a good place to begin is kind of how we... is how we all kind of started our own sustainable journey. So do you want to start, Pat?
Yeah. Well, first, after I had my first child, which is that guy there, I've noticed that the amount of rubbish at our household was rising at an alarming rate and decided to do something about it. So looked into the different areas in our lives, you know, being going out, being having a shower, as I said, brushing our teeth, simple things to shopping, groceries and all of that. And we decided to start making a few simple changes. Realized then that the options, at least he, like, 5 years ago, they were a bit limited. The experience was quite fragmented. So last year, I decided then to create Reusey to try and create this one-stop shop for people to find ways to live more sustainably. So that was basically it.
And did you have an aha moment through everything? Like, did you kind of have like, oh, like something needs to change here?
Yeah, we are just going with the flow. Things are just, you know, like we call shampoo bottles, for example, the conventional products. And we're just used to the amount of basically rubbish that we produce. We think that's normal. So to me, when I realized that, for example, my shower routine could be completely changed, like I have no bottles, it's just bars. I was like, it's easy. Everybody should be doing that. And my aha moment was like, sustainability, wanting or not, has a bad rep. So I was like, no, this has to happen. And it's for everybody, no matter your background and whatever, it has to happen. So when I start seeing the change within my own home and my family, I was like, this is possible. We should all be doing this. And not, it's not just for an extremist or someone who is like, you know, either zero or waste or out. It's like, it's for everybody, it's gradual. So I think when I start seeing the changes, I was like, wow, this has to be more than just a small group of people, you know?
Clara, your journey?
Oh, my journey. Okay, my background is in textile design. And from there, I actually did a postgrad in community arts. And it's the first time I ever heard the word circular economy. Like, I was like, what is this? Why aren't we doing it? It was my aha moment because I was doing research. I kind of went down like a tunnel, like spiraling down of like TED Talks and how to live with less. And if anyone knows me, I'm kind of a hoarder. So, but like, you know, maximalist, but trying to be minimalist, you know, just from having that mindset of thinking to be like, oh, I could use that again. I better keep that. So that was kind of my transition, and then learning about everything from living with less. But when I came across zero waste, I was like, that is unattainable. It is not accessible for people. Even the word zero waste, I was like, it was too daunting for me. So I took a step back from that and started looking at my own behavior. And my first change was when I came across like deodorant, and I decided to use limes instead of deodorant, because that was wild.
So you literally just jumped from like aerosol to limes.
Yeah, I was going traveling and my friend was like, oh, like what can we pack less of? And I used limes for 2 weeks and I would not recommend it. There are lovely products on the market. You do not have to take that leap. And Pat's lovely store will provide you with these. So it's a journey. And I don't think we're not here to tell anyone what to do. And wait, some people just made bags. All on their own. Well done.
That is really nice.
Beautiful bag.
I would pay you for that.
Speedy, yeah. Speed.
It's gorgeous. So in terms of my sustainable journey, I had a very cliched one in that I quit my job and went traveling for a year. And it was on my travels that I started to see just kind of, you know, little snippets of different countries being affected by climate change. And you know, it was like, you know, species of birds just not existing anymore, or lakes and rivers having dried up due to drought. And I remember when I was in New Zealand, I was at Franz Josef Glacier and it had receded by something like 3 kilometers in 2 years, and it just started to hit me slowly but surely. And before this, I obviously cared for the environment, but not to any great degree at all. And it was only when I reached Bali, because you know, Bali does it to everybody, I visited a school called Green School. I would highly recommend looking up a TED Talk by a man called John Hardy. He created this school called Green School, which is solely made out of bamboo, which is a renewable resource in the area. And the school essentially is grounded in sustainable practices. So all the kids learn about the circular economy when they're like 6. And their final thing that they present on when they're leaving at the age of 12, they have to do a TED Talk, which is just so cool. And for me, that was one of those goosebump moments of like that night I like lay in bed and I was like, oh my God, this is what I need to get into. But it was actually coming back from my travels that was the toughest, because you're kind of like, how do I make a difference? What do I do? And what I would recommend for anybody who is starting their sustainable journey today is just, you know, turn up to things. If you see there's a workshop on and you have no idea who's going, you're the only person going, that was me. And I actually, it was at one of the first workshops, it was a recycling workshop, that I met two of the coolest people, and that is Clodagh, who I now am doing this podcast with, and Sundara, who's now sitting right here. So it's just amazing. You open yourself up to meeting great people. And I have to say, it is Clodagh who had kind of just
brought me into this whole new, you know, realm of amazing people, showed me like this, the coolest eco groups in Dublin and Ireland, and you feel like you're part of something. So that was my sustainable journey, and I'm currently still on it. Okay, I have a question for you, Pat. Okay. How did you come up with the name Reusey?
Reusey means reuse in Esperanto, which is an universal language used in the 70s. So that's basically it. My granny can talk to a wall, and we used to joke that she can speak Esperanto, so because universal language, and that was that. Simple. Cool. It's short. Easy.
And then in terms of your journey, what have you found to be the kind of easiest and hardest kind of part of that journey? Because I think a lot of people might be a bit like, oh, I'm not sure about it, but yeah. Tell us.
So if you think of products, easy, it's very easy to convert someone to use a soap bar. Very easy, simple, familiar. And then again, on products, if you tell someone to go for a menstrual cup, that's hard, I find. Some people are just like, oh, never. But in general, I find it very easy to approach local businesses and just say, look, we're trying to promote local businesses, natural products, you know, package free, all of that sort of stuff. And people are very open to help. And then when it comes to hard, I guess it's to try and change the reputation of like sustainability. As Claude said, you know, the whole zero waste, like you just say that and people are like, oh, whatever. Yeah, immediately you alienate people. Mm-hmm. The idea is like, no, it's minimal waste. We're all trying to do our best. We're going to try and reduce here and there. And hopefully adding all of our efforts up together, you know, we will make a difference. It's very hard if you just go to someone and say, sorry, from now on, it's zero waste. Because people can get very overwhelmed and they're like, I don't think I'll be able to do that. So clearly it's not for me, but it's for everybody. It's mm-hmm. not for a segment, it's for everybody. So that is hard sometimes to change the mentality, I guess.
Yeah, and to encourage people to
reputation, really.
Make simple steps. That it's not like you have to go from aerosol deodorant to limes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like step by step, small changes, they all add up and make a difference.
Exactly, yeah.
And in terms of the kind of conversation that you would have, or how do you convince somebody who's so ingrained in, you know, that other way of life?
Yeah.
How do you, like, what's your way of, like, what's your elevator pitch for people?
No, it's very simple. It's like, look, sustainability is for everybody. It's normal. If you enjoy going to your parks, to your beaches, to travel the world and see beautiful places, you're going to have to do something about it because we are running out of time. So it's not for a group of people. It's for everybody. I would always ask people, like, just think about three areas in your life that you think you can make a change, make a difference. So being it carrying a water bottle or, and I'm not even saying spend money. I'm saying, like, we all have cutlery at home, right?
Right? Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully so. Yep. So just carry a set with you. You don't need to buy a fancy bamboo stainless steel thing, you know, like.
Let's do a what's in the bag, Pat.
Like, it's serious. I do have a shop that sells all of that, but like all of the stuff I have, like water bottles and all. No. What I'm trying to say is none of these is from, they're not from my shop. Like, I got as presents, you know, like, and I've been collecting them. This is just normal cutlery, you know, just carry around like a little set and make a little steps that will make a difference. You don't need to go fancy, spend millions. It's not about that. And that's another hard thing. People are like, oh, sustainability is for people with money. And it's like, no, it's not. Look, this is a horrible, horrible bag.
But Pat's trick.
It's like, it doesn't even work properly, but it's great. It's just a bag. You know, when I carry it around, and it's cheap. I got it as a present, and they, you know, it's just like, just carry what you have to avoid waste. So it's not about spending money. So it's like, if people start saying, oh, I don't have money for that, it's like, you don't have to have money. You have everything you need at home. You don't need to buy a keep cup. I bet you have like a mug, anything. So carry a mug, you know, cutlery, soap. Soap is much cheaper sometimes than a fancy shampoo, right? That's from L'Oreal and all of that stuff. So it's all about those small changes. But at the end of the day, that will make a difference. So if you talk to people about this, I think you can
change their mindset somehow.
And I think, personally speaking, it's not necessarily about, you know, preaching to people and being like, you should do this because, you know, like, for example, the Keep Cup. You could so easily just, like, shout at people being like, every single day, 500,000 disposable cups, you know, but that doesn't get through to people. I think what I just decided myself was I'm going to start making the changes. And by doing that, I inadvertently affected people around me. And it didn't involve me sitting down and pointing the finger and telling them why they should do it. It was more like, I'm just going to do it and people are going to see me do it. And I feel empowered by making these changes. And I actually had my manager sit down with me at lunch one day, and she wouldn't be into this at all. And she was like, to be honest, Katie, like, just by you doing your thing, I've started to make changes. And now she has a Keep Cup and she has a water bottle, and she went and got those herself. And it's those kind of small changes that do affect people around you. And like, even my parents both have their water bottles and Keep Cups that they got themselves as well, do you know? So it's just about feeling empowered in yourself to make those small changes and know that people around you are taking note, you know? It's subliminally trying to bring people on board.
I think we were talking earlier about this thing called the value added gap, which is this disconnect between, you know, we see these turtles on TV and there's, you know, with the straws, and it's horrifying, but you can switch the channel. You don't actually take action around that. So we need to empower people to do the behavior, like give them the Keep Cup. Don't just tell them about, like, obviously the education has to be a part of that conversation, but they need the action to go with it. Mm-hmm. So, like, kind of speaking of collective action, would you consider yourself a climate activist?
A practical climate activist. You know, as you said, you know, when I'm talking to people often, and I say to them, look, I can start by talking about the polar bears and everything that's happening, you know, different places around the world, but you're going to turn around and say, but how am I going to save the polar bear? So it's more about like, okay, this is happening, great. No, well, not great. But, you know, this is what we can do to affect, you know, positively to drive change. So I think more than being an activist, you know, to fighting for obviously what's going on in the Amazon, for example, right now, it's like, but how can you help? Instead of like, oh, isn't it so horrible? Oh, isn't it so horrible? It's like, yeah, but what can you do to help? And it's small changes that, you know, together will make a difference. We should wait for like the guys at the top to you know, start moving and changing things, because that's not going to be quick or easy. So it's really down to the mass, and I think the mass can make a massive difference. You know, even before the guys up there decide to.
It's like, who are you looking at, Pat?
The guys up there. Yeah.
But in terms of, you're mentioning there just like the mass and kind of the collective action thing, who do you follow? Like, who gives you that inspiration and that kind of like, woo, let's go?
I could sit here and talk about, you know, the zero waste movement, you know, the American girl who created the whole thing, etc. But no.
B. Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. All of those guys, Lauren Singer. The day-to-day heroes, like, you know, the plastic free Kalani, Kinsale, Monaghan Glasslock, Atboy, like all those communities that are trying like small things, like the Atboy guys, they're making bags out of leftover, you know, fabrics, and, you know, the Dolkey guys, like there's always someone doing something. So these guys are very inspiring. So I much rather follow them, because again, it's practical, it's actionable, and it's real, than this beautiful Instagrammable moment that, you know, was all put together for that one picture. So I think the day-to-day heroes, like, you know, communities mainly, and businesses, local businesses trying to make a difference as well.
Yeah, proving that collective action does work.
Does work, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like join your local activist group, right? Like we had, was it Extinction Rebellion were on the stage earlier?
Yeah.
You know, they're all over Ireland and the UK. Like there was Friends of the Earth here. Young Friends of the Earth were here. Go down to the Global Green. Anything else? Who am I missing, Clem? Not here, not anywhere. They're amazing. Like there's all these groups that, like, if you're not in the know, you mightn't even understand that they're like lobbying every day. Like they're doing the hard work, they're getting the burnout. So like support those local groups, because, you know, they're in it for the long haul. So it's really great. I guess thinking of what we looked up for, like, individual solutions.
Oh yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
We looked up this thing called Project Drawdown, who had this quiz, and basically the top five things. So you hear about people saying stop eating meat, da da da, but actually, so the first one is manage refrigeration and chemicals on an individual and industrial level.
Check, like, your fridge.
Like, what? So, like, there's, like, chemicals that leak from your fridges. Apparently this is a huge issue. I think it's in, like, air conditioners. Like, who would have thought that that was, like, one of the top priorities?
So if you're in a position to buy a new fridge, just, you know, check and make sure that it's eco-friendly.
Or don't burn the fridges, you know, whatever. The second one is install on onshore wind turbines. So this is more industry. So, like, you could literally contact your local government or your local representative and tell them that this is an issue that you're passionate about. Because obviously that's a level above the individual. The third one is then cut down on food waste. So that is something that we all have, like, power to do ourselves every day. Like, when you really think about, we actually had an episode on food waste. So if you want to learn
it's
about
called
that,
What the Fork?
Yeah, it is insightful.
Yeah, a third of all food produced in the world is wasted. A third. And there's a million tons of food in Ireland is wasted every year. And that's enough to fill Croke Park to the top twice. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
2 million euro per 3 million euro per day in Ireland of food waste. Holy moly.
We're throwing our money away, literally.
But if you want to know more, definitely check out our episode on food waste.
Yes. Well, the fourth one then is to eat more plants and less meat. So that is something that you can do as well. We're not telling you what to do. It's just, this is the quiz, okay? And the fifth one is restore tropical forests. So this is something that we need to contact policymakers on. Obviously, with the with the Amazon, what's happening in Bolivia and everything, it's not good. So we need to come together and create something bigger than ourselves. And I think this is why it's so important to have all these kind of conversations. And, like, really big up to Native Events for putting on these lovely stages to bring these people together, because this is what, like, festivals do. They bring people together. You're kind of creating new communities. You might be people that wouldn't be in your social spheres. Like, it's, I love that. It makes me happy. So yeah, that's the top five things.
In terms of your Pat's top tips, like, if you could kind of leave people with a few steps in terms of their sustainable journey, what would you say?
I think in summary is think twice. You know, before you get anything from, like, an extra can of chickpeas to a dress, you know, think twice and ask yourself, do you need it? If the answer is no, then no. But if the answer is yes, then I think it's like, okay, fine, it's yes. I need that. And then the question is, how was that made? Where is that coming from? What sort of materials were used? Is that locally was that locally produced? Did it come from very afar? So all of those questions, and try to prioritize local businesses, local produce, materials, whatever it is. You will be helping the environment, reducing your carbon footprint and all of that sort of good stuff. 40% of our carbon footprint in a year is produced during our daily choices. So every choice we make today, 40% of that will contribute to our yearly carbon footprint. And that just proves then that small changes do make a difference, because that 40% can be reduced if you decide to start carrying, you know, your flask for your drink out there instead of getting a cup and that sort of good stuff. And that is a good segue to talk about then about the bring your own. You know, there's no excuse, even if at a festival, you know, just bring a little backpack or something with your own kit, minimal waste kit. I also like to talk about the bathroom routine. It's my favorite. You know, like, ditch the bottles, go for your bars. There's so many great things out there, natural products, good for your hair, good for your body, good for the environment. And then the last I had, try and identify around your area, where can you buy package-free stuff? You know, like, if it's a local grocer, if it's some shop that delivers to you in paper bags or bio bags, like, what can you do to avoid bringing packaging into your home? I think that's a very good one. You save money on your bin charges, and you will be obviously helping the environment, which is very important. Okay.
They're great.
That's a whole other issue as well, that, like, you know, when you're thinking about saving money, like, sustainability is, you know, obviously a buzzword at the moment, but like regeneration is kind of what we're striving towards. So people can like, well, my top tips, right, would be Marie Kondo. So if she starts with every room, so that's what I feel like people could do on their journey. So start, like, look at your daily life. What's in your bedroom? What could you do in your kitchen? Like, that makes sense to you, because there's no point in us telling you, well, you got to do this, you know? And it might even be for reasons. Like, you could be maybe eat less meat once a week for health reasons, and you can actually save money. So, like, it might start as something else, and then it will turn into, you know, once you're, what was your lovely quote about when you get hooked?
Well, that one. Yeah, so that it's not about doing it perfectly or one person doing it perfectly. It's about hundreds, thousands, millions of people doing it imperfectly. So it's not like, oh, well, it's you know, like doing this whole zero waste thing, or like, oh, I have to do it perfectly. It's about just trying and giving it a go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, even with collective action, like the thing of like, oh, well, one person doesn't make a difference. I mean, obviously the Greta Thunberg movement is huge, but like, can you imagine if everyone here, like, withdrew their money from banks that didn't divest in fossil fuels, what would happen to the country? Like, think about it. Like, all that collective action, if that actually happened together. So that's why we're really advocating for the 20th of September.
Yeah.
You know, if you can, book the day off, you know, get out there. Yeah. Maybe someone might close their store. Yes. I mean, that's a huge commitment, but like, well done. Yeah. But this is the level that we're at. So we really feel that this is why the individual journey is so important.
Yeah.
Personally, that's what
and I think as well, you know, if a protest isn't necessarily for you, if you can't get it off work, or it's a step too far just at the moment, you know, activism comes in many forms. The fact that you're sitting here listening to this today is a step in the right direction. You know, reading an article that's really affected you, that has maybe given you hope, or has made you really upset or really angry, and sharing that on WhatsApp with someone, that in itself is a form of activism, because you are starting a conversation. And what I would say is, try and have those difficult conversations with the people who aren't a part of that echo chamber of, you know, oh, that's why I love spending time with these guys, because we're like, oh no, you're great, oh no, you're great. But it's actually about sitting people down who aren't into this kind of thing at all, and kind of really, you know, just having those conversations, saying, did you read that article that I sent you? Like, it was crazy, wasn't it? And, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, hard.
I have a good example. I have this friend who could not be more full on waste instead of zero waste. You know what I mean? She loves Brown Thomas and all of that good stuff. And so I said to her, I was like, one day she was like, oh, your hair looks good. Maybe not now, but that day it was. And she was like, your hair looks good. And I was like, do you like it? You know what? Like, I'm using the shampoo bar, and I'm going to give you one. And, you know, maybe you want to try. Last night, I met her at a party, and she's like, oh, my God, I'm using the shampoo bar. And la, la, la. And I was like, yes.
That's,
you know, but, like, this is the person who was most unlikely to change.
Yeah.
And yesterday, like, you know, this woman covered in like jewelry and all, she's talking to me about shampoo bars, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
So it's one tiny thing, but like, it's one less bottle that's coming into her house, and I'm sure there's loads of others, but it's one thing that's making a difference, and I'm happy, you know, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess another thing is what we were doing down here is about your clothes. A simple thing that you could do is literally shop sustainably, go to your secondhand stores, throw swap parties with your clothes, just like really rethink the value. So if you weren't here earlier, a t-shirt is, to grow enough cotton for one t-shirt is 3 years of your drinking water. So that's 2,700 liters. So even if you think of like your t-shirt and your jeans, I think it's 7,000 or maybe it's 10,000. It is, yeah.
Yes.
So together, a t-shirt and jeans is 13,000 liters of water, which is, think, 10 years. So that's wild. So that's like really why we're advocating for reuse. And it's something, you know, you wear it every day. Like, you can't avoid it. Hopefully everyone wears clothes. Like,
and I think we were just talking earlier as well, and speaking on that kind of the sustainable way is more expensive. Fashion is a perfect example of somewhere that it, or an industry that it's not too expensive to switch, because you've got secondhand clothes, charity shops, Swapping with Friends, Depop, you know, all of these like online resources that sell perfectly good clothes. Even eBay, if you search like with tags on, you can get something that's pretty much brand new for half the price. So in that way, switching to a more sustainable way of living, especially within the fashion industry, is cheaper if you look at fashion, for example. So it's not always that, oh, it's for, like you said, people with more money. That's not always the case.
And I forgot to say that next month is Secondhand September. So like if you're already on this journey.
That's not this month.
Oh my God, today's September. Happy September. Wow, it's a bit fragile today, guys, here. Sorry. But we're getting through it. We're getting through it. Thank you for listening. But no, if you think of one friend, like you were saying, that would have no interest in the environment, be like, ah, what's the point? Have a chat with them. You know, be a little bit uncomfortable. Jump outside that comfort zone for a few minutes. You can do it. I think that's a really good way to approach it and to make it more, just to normalize the conversation, like to make it more mainstream. This isn't like this other thing. It's just about having information, getting it out there.
Also, just another example of kind of making the difference and how the multiplier effect is a really good way of just feeling empowered. We actually did a live podcast at Body and Soul. And we did it on reusables and single use. And we spoke about disposable coffee cups and, you know, how much you were to have a coffee every day and how many cups that would be throwing away every year. And we looked at everyone here and we multiplied it out. And if every single person kind of in the audience were to switch to a keep cup, you would save 120,000 disposable coffee cups from landfill every single year. So it just goes to show that like it is just about making the decision yourself to start your journey, feel empowered, don't be too hard on yourself. Like it's okay if you forget your keep cup someday. It's fine. Do you know what I mean? And it's just not about judging other people. Like you're doing it yourself and you've chosen to kind of start the journey. So well done you. Yeah, do you guys have any questions for, well, I mean, I feel like Pash would probably be the person you could ask, but I'm sure we know stuff too. Does anyone have any questions at all? So I'm just going to repeat that. So you like the idea of sustainable fashion, and where could you find kind of more workshops and groups and how to get involved and what to show up to? I think Clodagh is definitely the person for that.
My top tip is Sustainable Fashion Dublin. They were here earlier. They're so great. Taz and Geraldine. So they run like workshops, thrift shops, upcycling. They do swap shops. Personally, myself, I do things.
Woohoo!
We started this
thing. I do things.
Self-plug. But we're called Swapsies, right? But it's actually turning from a swap shop into an online platform hub that will answer that question and give you all that information. So if your sustainability is different to everyone, right? You might be like more ethically minded. You might want to make sure things are vegan. Like you might want to make sure things are compostable. Like it means different things to different people. So I want that to be like literally a one click away and really simple, and to create this hub and for people to come together and share. So yeah, Swapsies, watch that space. Woo!
And if anyone here is interested in kind of food waste and maybe learning more about that, I did a course with Stop Food Waste. And if you look up stopfoodwaste.ie, they have free courses that you can do for 8 weeks. And you learn all about how to reduce your food waste. You do like workshops. Craig Benton is the name of the amazing person who runs it. He is so cool. And you also learn about composting. And it's just really great. And even if you're not interested in turning up to a course, if you just log on to the website, the resources are incredible. And their Instagram is great as well.
And to complete the answer, we'll be running workshops at our store. They're free. And we'll have like food waste, fashion, recycling, composting, how to make your own body butters and all of that sort of stuff. So if you follow us on Instagram, you will know when they'll start this month.
Sorry, PS. There's a great account called Fashion Revolution Ireland. So there's Fashion Revolution all over the world, but there's a Facebook page of Fashion Revolution Ireland, and that has events every April, but they're trying to make it like an annual event so everyone can do it. So yeah, hopefully that answers your question.
If you're looking for books to read, other things that I've read that I've loved, One great book is Let My People Go Surfing, which is, myself and Claude have bonded massively over this book. It's written by Yvonne Chouinard, who was the CEO and founder of Patagonia. It is such a good book. Oh my gosh, like if you're, it breaks down all of their philosophies and how they work, and especially for a company that is, you know, profit driven, and it just shows how they are trying to be more conscious in every aspect of like supply chain, human resources. But yeah, so that's great. And then another one I really liked, oh, of course, would it even be a podcast episode without mentioning Mary Robinson? Let's be honest. Yeah. But her book, Climate Justice, is brilliant. It's also small. So it's really manageable. There's really great stories from people all over the world, and it's just captivating. And what I love about it is she talks about being a prisoner of hope. So just keep going. And every story ends with an uptake of hope. It's not like this constant doom and gloom, which can get really heavy. Yeah. Every story is kind of like, okay, yeah, that's great. And then, you know, Naomi Klein is another one. This Changes Everything. We're going to go see her in November if you're interested. And Lorna Gold as well. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Climate Generation is a great book. For anyone who's interested, we can like do a little recap on our Instagram and summary and things like that. Yeah, it's just, if this is day one of your sustainable journey, it may or may not be. It's just inform yourself and definitely feel empowered to get out there. And I am going to quote Mary Robinson if I'm allowed. She's got a great one saying, oh yeah, feel empowered. If you start to do it, if you start to feel your voice heard, you will never go back. And that is so true. So true. Go Mary. We actually really hope that she listens at some point.
We've literally mentioned her in every podcast. So we're like, hey Mary, do you want to be friends?
Yeah.
In case, actually, that's her and me.
If you're looking for podcasts, I don't know if you guys have listened to Mothers of Invention. It's a really great podcast as well. And she's one of the hosts, hence the mention.
Yeah. And who do you follow online? My top ladies are, there's a sustainable editor for Vogue Australia. It's called Claire Press. She's awesome. Dominique Drakeford. She's really just like advocating for everyone. Katie, who are your two top ladies?
I kind of follow people? Who you follow, to be honest. To be honest, I'm loving everything that Sustainable Fashion Dublin are doing. They're brilliant. Yeah. Fashion Revolution Ireland, great accounts that look at cute animals. Because you're just like, oh, the animals. Bless them.
I guess just to mention that we are recording this live from Native Events Stage at Body and Soul. And I have written down a thing because I am prepared. Yes, believe it or not. They are really great. You should check them out, Native Events, on Instagram and Facebook. But they're really working towards a truly sustainable future. And they're really founded on circular economy principles, and the whole Living Lab showcases innovative solutions to environmental, social and commercial challenges presented by climate change. But I'm going to change that to climate crisis because that's what's happening right now. Thank you for being here, guys, and we hope you enjoyed our
chat. Thank you.
That is all for episode 7. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really hope you picked up some top tips for your sustainable journey at whatever point you are at. We really do recommend checking out the Project Drawdown quiz, and we shall put the link in the show notes as always. Other things that we discussed are Naomi Klein's book, This Changes Everything, and Lorna Gold's book, Climate Generation, both of whom we were going to see live this month.
Woo!
So excited. And also worth checking out is Native Events, who are so kind to invite us to their solar-powered Living Lab stage at Electra Picnic. They really are doing great things in this space. And huge thanks to Pat from Reusey, who joined us on stage, who is now an award-winning ecopreneur. You go, Pat. Woo!
Big thanks to our editor, April, for piecing this show together, Ben for the loan of his mics, Rory for recording this episode, and Claire and Niall for inviting us to their Living Lab stage. If you are enjoying Climate Queens, please, please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you are listening. It not only means the world, but allows others to find us more easily to spread the word. You can also find us on Instagram at Climate Queens Podcast.
Bye! Bye.